Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Shmendra Paul, Program Manager for the Information Sharing Environment. Also joining our conversation from IBM is George Cruiser. So standards are critical to powering the ISE. Would you tell us more about the development and implementation of standards across the environment? And more particularly, does the pursuit of standards limit or defeat innovation?
You know, I want to start with the last part of that question. We absolutely believe that standards enable innovation. You know, the key here is let's innovate where we should innovate. Let's innovate where we can add value. And let's standardize where we have defined requirements and have common mission equities and we really need to share information. So our standards framework is really focused on exchange standards. It's standards on the edges of organizations. And it's really trying to solve the problem of moving from point-to-point interfaces that are custom and one-off to a multilateral sort of interface exchange, which is standardized and baked into the infrastructure. You innovate on top of that. You know, why would you want to innovate on an interface spec, right? You want to innovate on analysis methodologies and things like that. Now, they are critical to our activities, and you know, we're firm believers in the nexus for standards being with industry, right, with voluntary consensus standard type organizations. Now, along those lines, we've set up something called the Standards Coordinating Council. It is within our White House-based IPC structure, and this coordinating council includes right now organizations like OASIS, the Object Management Group, the Open Geospatial Consortium, the IGIS Institute, ACT-IAC, AFEI, which is in the DoD space. And we're looking to grow it, but these are folks that we work with right now on specific aspects of the ISE standards profile. We also have a standards working group that's focused inside the government where we're trying to coordinate standards activities, standards repositories, how we think about standards, how they integrate into programmatic management processes. We're also looking at industry-based certification, right? The idea here is not to create a heavyweight infrastructure, but to make this lightweight and to make sure that it works with industry, not against industry, right? So that's really, really critical. And so standards are critical to empowering the ISE, and we think the nexus with the standards work is work with industry and standards organizations.
The need to both protect and share national security and counterterrorism-related information is critical. To that end, can you elaborate on your efforts to develop and implement safeguarding capabilities that directly relate to the advancement of information sharing?
Yes, we look at safeguarding, protecting information, information security as two sides of the same coin with information sharing. As a matter of fact, when you look at the definition of the ISE in law, the ISE is defined through 15 performance attributes, the majority of which either are security-related or dual-purpose, things like attribute-based access control, cross-security domain sharing of information, audit and continuous monitoring, things like that. So it's been a part of our fabric since inception. We've done a lot of work to date around security policy type activities. More recently, and also the identity management sort of activities we talked about earlier, more recently we've been given the mission and we've stood up and integrated the Classified Information Sharing and Safeguarding Office as part of the government's response post-WikiLeaks. So in that regard, we're working closely with the Committee on National Security Systems, which is out in front with a secret fabric and driving a lot of activities that way with the Insider Threat Task Force to make sure that there's an integrated approach, right, to make sure that we're leveraging and not forgetting information sharing and the safeguarding, but really always coming back to, you know, the key is responsible information sharing. So the things you would do to enable information sharing also enable safeguarding. It's, in our view, not a trade-off. It's not an either-or, it's a both.
Your success clearly rests in part on, you know, building both a shared trust and a shared responsibility related to the overall national security mission. Can you tell us how the ISE governance structure works and how it helps to both build that trust and that shared responsibility?
Yes, yes. As I mentioned, I co-chair the White House's Information Sharing and Access Policy Committee. My other co-chair is my co-chair is Tim Duran, Senior Director for Information Sharing and Safeguarding Policy on the National Security Staff. So Tim and I co-chair the IPC, Interagency Policy Committee. We have several subcommittees and working groups underneath the IPC. These subcommittees and working groups have a degree of agency leadership. Almost in every case, actually, we try to recruit people from the interagency to be the leaders in the subcommittees and working groups. So I'll highlight our privacy subcommittee. We have a privacy, civil liberty, civil rights subcommittee. The current chair of that committee is Alex Joel. He's the chief privacy civil liberties officer in the ODNI. Previously, he just took over from Mary Ellen Callahan, who just left federal service. She was a chief privacy officer over at DHS. Chief privacy officers from across the government sit on this subcommittee, working different issues around helping agencies build their privacy policies. You know, how do we look at compliance or performance measures around privacy? How do we standardize information sharing agreements? These privacy by design ideas I talked about earlier. They've got a working group looking at that sort of thing. So, you know, that kind of broad-based buy-in. Another example of this is that we've gone through the process, and it was a process, but we've successfully navigated it to include non-federal players in our subcommittees and working groups. Now, that's a pretty big deal for folks that have been around the government, the fact that we can actually, in a national policy body, a White House-based policy body, we're able to have subcommittees where we've integrated state and local representatives. So the chair and the vice chair of the Criminal Intelligence Coordinating Council, for example, Ron Brooks, who's the chair, and Vern Keenan, who's the vice chair, they sit on both the SAR subcommittee and the Fusion Center subcommittee. We have representation from Global, their infrastructure committee, in our information integration subcommittee. So having that state and local participation is a big deal. It sends a great message. Now, in addition to the governance, there's also the engagement type activities, right? So we do a lot of engagement, and we work that, you know, through a variety of different organizations. But there's a real focus on leveraging professional societies. So an example there is the International Association of Chiefs of Police. We do a lot with the IACP. They're an incredible partner for us. By working with them, that's how we can actually touch the 18,000 police departments in a credible way. Them and others like the National Sheriff's Association, the major city chiefs, the major county sheriffs. So there's other organizations, but I just was highlighting IACP.
Yeah, given that threats can come from across the world or across the street, I'd like to understand how you're better working with the private sector and international partners on expanding responsible information sharing. More particularly, how are you enhancing the exchange of best practices and ideas amongst these folks?
Well, on the best practices, and it's very interesting, we're getting a lot of demand actually from our international partners. People overseas are taking notice of the work we've been doing and wanting to collaborate. I'll give you a few examples. There's an activity, North America Day, mm-hmm. and we're meeting in Williamsburg, Virginia, at the end of August. And there it's the CIOs and CIO, their associates, the federal CIO types from the three countries, Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. So last year in Mexico City, I was part of the delegation. We executed an agreement between the three countries to share best practices. And there was a focus on the national information exchange model. We kicked off two pilot projects, and we've had some success with them. One on public safety, stolen vehicle information sharing. The other, public health, foodborne illness. The stolen vehicle one is one you might understand, right, because of our public safety sort of nexus. But so let me talk about the other one, public health, foodborne illness. The Centers for Disease Control here in the U.S. has been out in front on that with their counterparts in Canada and Mexico. They've been developing some information exchanges that are standardized. They've been able to leverage some existing systems and build a consistent exchange across the systems. It's pilot. It's not in production because there are some issues that they're going to work around authority to operate CNA type stuff and things like that. But we always kind of said initially it was just going to be a pilot with to prove the concept. But they're very bullish on it. As a matter of fact, the feedback we're getting from the three countries is that they want to take what we've done to the World Health Organization and sponsor it for further dissemination more broadly. And the biggest proponents of doing that are our partners in Mexico, actually. Very, very interesting and compelling. So in addition, we've seen some uptake in Europe. We've been working with the European Commission folks, or the equivalent of their eGov function, around semantic interoperability ideas. The NEEM program office is doing that. And we've been working with our partners in the interagency with Europol, Pan-European Criminal Intelligence Fusion Center. That's where they do transnational organized crime, terrorism, and cyber. They're adopting our frameworks and wanting to collaborate. And so that's very exciting to see.
Our listeners have heard a lot about successful, responsible information sharing is dependent on really changing the culture from one of a need to know to a need to share And we also hear things like we need to move from information owners to information stewards. I'm interested in your thinking on those two concepts of, you know, A, is that in fact required for responsible information sharing? And if so, what kind of progress has been made in the last few years?
That's a great question, and it goes to the heart of how we see our mission. I'm going to anchor back on something the Markle Foundation put forward. Markle championed several years ago the idea of authorized use, right? So the idea of authorized use is really focused on, you know, decisions people need to make to protect the American people and enhance national security. So the whole point of information sharing is not to share information, but to get information to decision makers so they can make better, more proactive decisions to, you know, further the mission, right? So that's what authorized use is all about, right? Being able to think about information sharing in a mission context and defining policy that way as opposed to defining policy from the perspective of classes of information. Now, I look at that as also this idea of moving from ownership to stewardship. But the key challenge you have there is that we have, you know, law, policy, decades-long focus on classes of information. So how do you actually make that transition? So we have to do it incrementally and stepwise. And this goes to the heart of what we're trying to do, is to get folks comfortable with the idea that, yes, there can be a stewardship model versus an ownership model. Now, keys to doing that are things like trust that policies are defined in a way that are clearly understood across organizational boundaries. So, and that understanding has to be in detail, not at the high level. So, you know, you can't just have a high-level policy and leave implementation to different agencies, right? Because then you're going to get variation in implementations and you're not going to get kind of consistent, you know, enforcement of those policies. So this is where the things like the smart data ideas, the back-end attribute exchange ideas, having, you know, privacy guidelines that, you know, anchor across levels of government become key enablers to taking that journey. We have many more steps to take, but I think it's, you know, some of the things that we're talking about will enable that sort of trust, you know, and it all boils down to the producers of information and consumers of information operating off the same rule book, right, in a way that's transparent and auditable across, you know, across boundaries.
How are you using social mapping tools or social networking tools?
You know, we see the need to build communities of action around information sharing. So we've, you know, knowledge management's a key issue for us. So being able to, you know, build from the initial release, we have this Building Blocks initiative that I talked about that's highlighted in our website, www.isc.gov. We think that there's a need to be able to identify information sharing professionals across ISC mission partners. I've talked about how large our scope is. Well, across those mission partners, there are individuals that want to be able to participate in, you know, the development of the ISC, contributing their best practices, understanding what others are doing. And so, you know, the Building Blocks Initiative is really the first step in that direction. We want to take it. Right now it's static, right? We're just publishing best practices across the ISC. We want to, you know, take it to where it's more dynamic, where we're integrating academics or think tanks or other third parties that are credibly dedicated to the mission of identifying and disseminating knowledge around the information sharing mission space, right? And then be able to have those sort of online communities that, you know, I think could, you know, allow us to accelerate innovation, accelerate identification, integration, and dissemination of best practices.
What does the future hold for the information sharing environment? We will ask Shmendra Paul, Program Manager for ISE, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.